Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us today on New Life. And joining me today, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
It's great to be with you.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And yes. This is going to be a big day today. Hope that you have some issues that we can help you with. And we love getting to do this because who knows what the big deal is. You know, when we first started this, a lot of people were depressed. But now, so much sexual sin.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the shame keep you from getting help, because
that can lead to depression, right?
And then
we'll have more depressed people again.
Well, that's right. And Solomon did this project on New Life and how we've been in this conflict, in the middle of the conflict, between people that say, well, psychology is, you know, it's not really needed. You just need more Bible. And other psychologists, you know, like Freud, thought that it was like a childhood neurosis, religion was. And we came along and we said, look, let's bridge this and let's get real live Christians using the principles that mm-hmm. support our theology and support life change. And that's what we've been doing for a very long time. But in his report, he was talking about that in the midst of all of this, well, folks didn't want to stand up and say they needed help because they were told it just meant you weren't praying enough, reading the Bible enough. It was a sign of spiritual weakness in every case.
Wow, well, you know, he researched this? That's incredible.
And he interviewed Bert Wilson and interviewed Marilyn Meeberg and all sorts of great stuff. But here's
people.
The thing. Here's the thing. Sometimes it is a spiritual dilemma that we're in. You know, sometimes we do need to clean up our act. And we've got a standard that, you know, I've never found that standard to be, gosh, well, that's kind of off base. That doesn't work. The standard works if you work the standard. But, you know, it's easy to fall away.
Well, you know,
anyway,
in addition to that, we have depression you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then we have this horrific problem that happened in Florida recently with an angry person. And the Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. We're commanded for anger to come out. And I'm writing a blog this week on anger, saying if we hold it in, it just festers, and God never tells us to hold our feelings on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
He tells them to bring them into community where
into
they can soften,
yeah.
where they can vent, where they can be processed, where hurt can be cared for by somebody else, thus diminishing anger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a biblical concept. And there's another illustration of something that just happened recently where somebody didn't follow precisely what you're saying, Steve, a biblical principle of bringing your emotions into community for relief.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I was preaching this Sunday at Heartland Church here, and I was saying to them what I've said 1,000 times, do not carry radioactive plutonium around in your pocket.
Right. Hmm.
And also don't carry around this justifiable resentment, bitterness, and anger.
Mm-hmm.
Where you think, well, you know, if you knew me, you'd keep this. Listen, God says get rid of it all. And when we don't, tragedy is the key. All of us end up with some kind of tragedy when we don't truly appreciate the value of God's truth. Well, we do here, and we're going to try to apply that to your life, try to give you some hope and help and healing. So we'll take this break, and by the way, if you need some help at any moment, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's our 800 number there in Dallas, Texas, and people are wanting to help you in any way possible. All you have to do is just pick up the phone and dial 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's also the number to call if you want to help support a ministry that transforms lives. We'll be back after this.
The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Orange County, California, March 16th through the 18th.
This weekend has been a chance to honestly share my feelings and to begin ownership of them. I learned how to stand up for myself. I experienced positive feelings that I hadn't experienced before.
Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
This weekend has been just the beginning of taking my life back. I leave with a renewed power to trust in God on a daily basis, a commitment to move forward in my recovery by continually taking my life back.
It's time to take your life back. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
If you really want to take your life back, then I would highly recommend it.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. And I'm going to start right here. I'm going to talk with Robin, Kerfield, California. She listens on one amazing station called KFAX. Hi, Robin. How you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
Great. What's going on in your life today?
I wanted to let you know that I could hardly contain myself. I attended the Restore workshop this weekend, and it was the best conference I have ever been to.
Wow.
And I am so grateful that you scholarshiped me. I don't know. I was the call on August 8th who, through domestic violence and sexual addiction, had left me in a domestic shelter, and all of you were so great to scholarship me to attend this. And it was quite literally life-changing for me. A couple of different things, and I'll just go through them just because I...
Yeah, I want to hear what was so great.
My career and my life has been leadership. So, you know, when you attend something like this, you're not... You don't know how corporate it's going to be. You don't know how smooth it's going to run, but everything was seamless. So first thing, let me just say that Shelley was awesome. The way she communicated her information with such enthusiasm, because if you have someone up there who has experienced it and says it with such emotion and communicates it so clearly, you can't help but just be a sponge for that. So she was just, she just had the human element of connection. So that was awesome. And the information that she gave from personal experience and from other resources was valuable. So it wasn't a lot of information. She just got to the bullet points. It wasn't information that you couldn't use. Everything she said was absolutely essential. So being an efficiency freak, that was awesome. Secondly, loving the breakout, the small groups, because you were validated. You were seen. You were heard. You were able to hear. You were able to get these emotions out, and you were validated through other people's experiences. And so you had someone running the group that was really good in therapy, and then you just had everyone, you know, taking that therapy and kind of applying it to their own lives and getting out things that they knew about or didn't know about but came up in the session. So you don't know what you don't know, but you find out in small group. And then you go back and then you get more information. That is phenomenal information. Becky
Robin, let me ask you a question real quick. I gotta interrupt you here, and I just wish you were a little more enthusiastic. And so, no, but I'm so glad you're so enthusiastic.
You don't have a radio show to run or anything, do you?
Yeah. But let me ask you this. I want you to think about all the things. What would you say for you had the biggest impact? Any particular teaching or,
I would say it was putting the ceremony and the sense of communion I felt when I put the lies down that I heard and believed about myself and substituted it with something, with the truth, not with something, with the truth. Substituting the lie for the truth and then having other people affirm that.
Okay. And so somebody that thinks, well, look, my husband was only using pornography, so it's not that big a deal. What would you say to that person who is thinking, maybe I don't need this because the person I was with wasn't that bad off? What would you say to them?
I think any amount of pornography or anything, I think it always leads from one to another. So I don't think there is a little amount of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
One goes on to the next level, goes on to the next level, goes on. There isn't such a thing as, it's like an alcoholic or something, drinking, having one glass of wine and not being able to stop. I don't think that there is a small piece of pornography and that's not that big of a deal. I think the lasting impact on the victim is, you know, in just small ways, it just creeps through the cracks, and then the crack keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And in my case, then your life, you know, you lose everything. So I don't think there is any. That's my answer, is that there's no such small, there's no such thing as a small thing, and it's not really that big of a deal. It is that big of a deal because his addiction brings you down, and so you feel like you're nothing. You feel like you're nothing, and the impact on you, even in the most subliminal way, changes how you see yourself, and your self-esteem just goes rock bottom. Whether you know about the pornography, whether you know he's doing pornography or not, you are still the victim of the consequences of his acting out.
Mm-hmm. And you feel it.
Okay. Well, listen, I cannot thank you enough, Robin.
Oh, well, I am thanking you. I mean, if you didn't have other callers in line, I could probably go on for another hour. But I need to just express, and I'm not going to start crying, but I need to express my gratitude for you offering this to me, because it was, and this is not an exaggeration, this literally was the biggest gift of my life, and it was life-changing.
Well, I tell you, I hope and pray that somebody that gave a scholarship hears this, and they truly come to understand what they did here, because it's not a small thing. It's a big thing that they did. And I'm just grateful that you were grateful enough you wanted to share it with other people. If you would like to be responsible for somebody just like that, getting the help that they need, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Just amazing. Wow. Does that make you happy for her? Oh, my goodness. Well, let's go over here and let's talk with Brenda. She's calling from Jacksonville, Florida, and listens on the NRB network. Hey, Brenda, how are you today? I don't know if she's up or not. Maybe we'll have to come back to... Yeah, here we go. Hi, Brenda. How are you? Welcome.
Hi, I'm nervous, but I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
How can we help?
I'll give my question first. How can I help my three granddaughters, 6, 9, and 12, when they have a narcissistic mother? That's my diagnosis, but I've learned a lot lately, and deeply depressed father, and any attempts that I make to set boundaries or tell her she's hurting her kids gets me removed from her life and from seeing my grandkids. A part of me wants to be fake in order to be able to still have that contact with them. But I have finally, after doing some research on narcissism, found out that all of my helping, because I'm her primary babysitter when she works, is actually, I can see her getting worse and worse. She has now a narcissistic boss who seems to really feed on each other. But
So what's the question for us then? What would you like us to help you with?
Okay, am I going to make it worse if I try to be fake in order to still have contact with my grandkids? Or how, I still want to say, how can I help her, but yet everything that I've read and seen, you can't help a narcissist. So I don't know if you know some other way.
Well, well,
can't wait to hear what they have to say, because I can't wait to tell you what I'm thinking. But
know,
yeah, go ahead, Jill. You start off.
Brenda, you can't hit it head on. You can't tell them they're a narcissist and they have a problem and they need help. And yet that's what you want to do. And you want to... Oh, okay. Well, then you know that it doesn't
work,
right?
Yeah.
So if you think that everything, like that she can relate to her own feelings, but can't really relate to the feelings of others. So everything, even if it seems really remote, or is about her. So I think that you can think about the way you phrase things, that you can help your granddaughters by somehow relating it back to her best interest. And if you do that in an indirect way, you can then be of benefit, I think, to your granddaughters, because that's your main goal. And so you want to be someone in their life. And so, you know, you will have to do things to keep that position, because that's an important role for them to be able to see the contrast. Because if dad's depressed, who do they have, really?
Oh, they have no one. And the problem is, the more I'm her primary caretaker for her children, and she has me, and I'm not well, and she has me going 5 days a week and sometimes the evenings if she gets a listing appointment. He fortunately covers the weekends, but now she's talking about he might need some time on Saturdays. I can't do it all.
Oh, okay.
No, you have to have boundaries.
Yeah, you
and
do.
You have to have limits. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Mylan, what are your thoughts? I mean, her basic.
And that turned into,
hold on a second.
Can't be around my family.
Yeah. Well, you have to, having boundaries is not being fake. Mylan, your thoughts here. She says, should I be fake in order to see the grandchildren?
Well, I think as Jill has already said, you want to be a safe person to those grandkids. Mm-hmm. You want to be the constant. You want to be the one that they can turn to no matter what is going on. If they have a mother with a personality disorder or some derivation thereof, and a father who's depressed, who do they get to talk to? Who do they get to process their feelings with? I would work on emotional intelligence with each one of the kids, asking them how do they feel, processing what's going on in their lives with them, being the person that will sit down, comfort them, nurture them, and listen to them, and be that person in their lives, and almost be Switzerland, if you will. You feel the freedom to say no. Feel the freedom to oppose and just say, I can't do that, I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that you have to point to the diagnosis. It's just to oppose what they're asking you to do, and which then cultivates respect on their part. If you can tell them no, but perhaps next week I could do that, then they understand there's somebody here that just doesn't roll over every time they say something. And that's going to be an important thing as well. Steve, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say that I don't think you have to be fake to do whatever it takes to be one solid positive influence in the life of those grandkids. So should you say that you'll take care of them 30 hours a week when you can only emotionally handle 20 hours? And if you don't say, I'll do it 30, well, you have to set that limit. And if you get rejected for that, you're not going to be any good to the kids anyway. But
right,
as far as trying to come up with something that you could say to her to help her or get her seat to see her reality, don't do that. But do say the things that keep you in her good company, and so that you do have access to those kids.
You know, there's one more thing too, Robin, and I'm sorry, Brenda, and that is that is the depressed dad your son?
No.
He's your son-in-law?
Oh, this is your daughter?
Yeah. It's my daughter.
Okay, so this is your daughter. Well, I would also talk to your son-in-law, and because I would want to know why he's depressed. Perhaps the strength and dominance of his wife and her busy schedule is a part of what is depressing him. She is literally the one who is running the home, and we don't know. But I would talk to him and just say, what's going on with you? And
well, and the whole narcissist thing, she has presented him with the belief that her problems are all PMS and her childhood, and that we were abusive to her, and he totally bought it. So he believes if he keeps catering to her and doing for her, that he can somehow rescue her. And this has been, that's been going on for like 14 years, and it hasn't worked.
Okay, well, he's going to hit
I was doing the same thing at different points. I've done the very things that you recommend, And then she starts doing that, well, you're crazy, you don't remember things right, it's your mind, and in serious situations. And I said, wow, I can't do this if I'm going to be distrusted. And this happened to be a situation of another child in my granddaughter's school and sexual abuse. And I could not be told that I didn't hear what I heard. And, you know, and that's what she's doing. She just turns it on me. And I'm now the scapegoat, the current one. I was scapegoat in the past. And then I did pretty much what you were saying. I tried to be a support to her. She totally takes up all the oxygen. There's no room for the kids. Just follow her edicts and her very harsh rules of the house for the girls to follow. And that's how you stay in her good graces. That's how you don't have a confrontation.
Yeah. Well, her husband.
That's what I don't know.
Well, but you can't be the tail end of somebody's kite. So I think at times it is okay to point out discrepancies and to hold your own because, you know, you do need to have their respect too.
Yeah. Integrity is important.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you this book on understanding and loving someone with borderline personality disorder because there's so many similarities to what you're saying here.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh, and I want to take a minute to tell you about our reintroduction of Club New Life. It's our monthly giving program. We have a new thank you gift for joining and new benefits available just for our Club New Life family. There's a lot to tell, and if you want more information on any of it, you can give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. First, when you join, in addition to the thank you gift, the quarterly resources, the monthly Club New Life CD, you'll have the satisfaction of knowing you are making life change possible. God is doing incredible work through our workshops, our network counseling, and of course, you hear it every day here on the radio. It is life transformation. One new benefit that will roll out on March 16th is the brand new Club New Life video library. It'll only be available to our Club New Life family. You can call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE to sign up. We ask you to donate $30 or more each month. Another benefit, you'll automatically qualify for your name or the name of a loved one on a brick in the New Life Wall of Transformation. It's a virtual wall honoring those who have supported New Life during our 30th anniversary. Again, if you want any information on any of this, just give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Steve?
Thank you, Terry. And Club New Life makes all the difference in the world for so, so many people. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call if you want to help us in that way. All right, well, let's go to, how about we talk with Mo? He's from Montrose, Virginia, listening on WAVA. Hi, Mo. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing all right. How can we help today?
I'm just, you know, a little stressed out and got a little depression going on, I suppose. It's hard to try to maintain at work. My old lady's always accusing me of cheating when that's not the case. It's just, I guess we argue and, it gets to the point where you don't want to talk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother's in jail, one of my good friends that works with me, he's MIA. I think he's back on drugs, so his name's Kevin. And usually he listens to your show, so in case he is listening, I'm going to say shout out to my brother, Kevin. What's up, man? And try to get him back to work. It's just, just a lot of stress. And it's hard sometimes, man.
Mm-hmm. So is that the question? How do I deal with all the stress in my life? Is that
Man.
Okay.
Like, I got the church thing, and because I do believe in the Lord. I listen to your show, but when I go to church, man, I don't want to hear what everybody else's interpretation of the Bible is. I just want to hear straight about the Bible, so it's kind of hard for me to get back in that routine, too.
Well, okay. So I hear what you're saying there, but if you're struggling, it seems like to me a lot of preachers will use the Bible to give you some answers to the struggle, give you some encouragement, and you can rely on really good Bible teachers for some very, very good help. Milam, why don't you start us off here? What do you think? I mean,
Mo,
he needs help.
Yeah, I would say first of all, I'm sorry you're stressed. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of loss in your life and a lot of frustration. You have reason to be depressed and stressed. That's a lot going on, my friend. And for that, I just want to tell you I see that and agree with you. It makes a lot of sense. Number two, I think the first line of defense that you really want to jump in here and be proactive and strong is to emotionally connect with your wife, to be able to sit down with her and to get a book like How We Love or Dave and Jan Stoop's Smart Love book and learn how to have emotionally intelligent conversations, which talk about emotions. And when you do, it's to ask her what she feels, to ask her what's going on, what are her fears. If she's accusing you of cheating all the time, then she is a fearful person.
And she doesn't feel connected.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's really not about the cheating. It's about what's happening or not happening between the two of you.
So it's killing two birds in one stone, really, so to speak.
It is. Because she needs something from you. Mm-hmm. And remember, we women, we go about it a weird way. We think if we criticize and look for the problem and dig that out, that somehow we're going to, master what's going on around us. And so she's... Go ahead.
It takes two, though, right?
It does take two, but somebody's got to start. And I hear that you're saying you're overwhelmed and it's a struggle. And when we're struggling, we feel like we can't handle one more thing. So we shut down, we pull away, we start to really lean on our own understanding instead of God's. And so what we're saying is it's going to be uncomfortable, but you're going to have to take some steps towards others. So towards your wife, Mylan is talking about, to lean into her. And it doesn't take a lot to, to connect, but it's a huge impact. So you have to lean into her, even touch her on the arm and say, I feel like we're disconnected. How can we reconnect? What's missing here? What am I missing? Because I love you. So you have to lean in and offer that, offer something. And then wherever you can plug in, you have to lean into that. Just show up at church. You don't have to do a lot. Just show up and be willing to listen and to receive and allow people to minister to you in that way. And instead of being, critical of that and wanting to push it away, allow yourself to be there in the presence. And go ahead, Mylan.
To your point, Jill, people disconnect when they are depressed.
Yes, because it's too much. Yes. It's just like, get everything away from me. And that's when it's the worst time to disconnect. You need some places that are uplifting for you.
Mm-hmm. And many times when a guy like you gets in this situation, you think nobody understands, nobody's good enough to help me, don't like these preachers.
It's part of
depression. Don't have any men that I connect with. you are playing right into the hands of an evil Satan who wants to keep you right where you are. You're going to have to find a way to open up to some very good teaching and preaching and connection with other men. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we are back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. And let me just mention to everybody that if you would love a great book on attention deficit disorder, understanding and loving a person with attention deficit disorder, you can order that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. Also, a gift of any amount, we're going to send you the 7 ways that you could choose to experience healing in your life. That's our way of saying thank you for supporting this ministry. All right. Well, I just want to go back to Mo just for a second here. Mo, again, is there any kind of connection that you have in any kind of support group with other men right now?
Well, I'm on business, so like I said, I had a couple coworkers, and one was real close, so he stuck with me through thick and thin, but like he's MIA now, so I think he's back on drugs. So
okay, so I just want all right, I just want to encourage you that if you do that, most women, Jill's telling you what women think there. Mm-hmm. I think most women think that when you're in a support group, you're a pretty trustworthy guy, that you're really working on yourself, that you're wanting to make progress.
That's a good point.
You've got accountability.
So you might want to think about one of these churches that maybe you're not comfortable with, but maybe you'd be comfortable in one of the support groups that that church has for men. And we say it often, men become men in the company of men. So you got to have those men in your life. All right. Let's go back to the phones, and I'm really glad. I'm going to send him a copy of Every Man's Marriage, and it's about mutual submission in marriage. It's really good. I think he'll like it. Let's go to Thomas from Albany, New York. How you doing, Thomas? Welcome to New Life.
Very fine. Thank you, Steve, and thank you very much for taking my phone call. Yes, sir. I've been suffering from alcoholism for a number of years after getting out of the military. I recently put myself through a 28-day program and getting involved in a Christian church as well as AA up here in upstate New York. Trying to get back on my feet, but I'm full of a lot of guilt and shame. And What I'd like to ask you, as well as the rest of the panel, is can you offer any kind of suggestions for someone like me who's trying to climb out of the hell of addiction? I'm really trying a lot to use my Bible, or going to being involved in Bible study as well as the men's ministry, but just facing an uphill battle and seems kind of insurmountable, and I'd love to hear you guys' suggestions.
Well, what did the treatment center tell you that you needed to do if you were going to stay sober?
Yes, sir. They said immediately to get involved in the local AA program, and that I in fact, have done. In fact, that okay. I do go 7 days a week for that, and got my sponsor as well, sir.
Good.
Okay. What else? Anything?
That as well as to get involved. I went to, they had a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, but a hint of a Christian-based program there. So to get involved in a good church where I was not before. And okay. Now I got involved, one up here. As a matter of fact, the preacher and I just read 2 Corinthians 5:17 about being a new creation. And he really got me supercharged with that. And the fact that, all those old sins, they're gone. You know, God has forgiven them, but we have to go forward from there. But it's just hard to drag me out of that. I keep on looking back and saying, wow, what I did was just so wrong. And I'm trying to right the ship and go forward from there, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like you're on the right track on what you need to be doing. Mylon, you want to start us off? You have some thoughts here?
I do. 2 Corinthians says you're a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. But new things have come in that God has put you in a privileged position with Christ, but he didn't erase your C drive. He didn't erase your memory. He didn't erase your feelings about that history. And the way we deal with that history is we bring whatever those feelings of guilt and shame, we bring them into a relationship and we process them. We get them out and we put them on paper. We don't pretend they're not there. We acknowledge that they're there. We acknowledge the root and the genesis of those places of pain. And we take them into community with somebody else by the way, thank you for serving our country. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, sir. We
all do. But shame and guilt is very much and can be a part of our background. If we're in the military and we've been involved in conflict and people's lives have been lost or people have been hurt or harmed, shame and guilt can come up as a result of that. We need to process that with somebody. And in our offices, Jill, we process. What happens there?
Well, that is a place where people can go and really start to examine and kind of lay out all that has happened, all the feelings that they have, all the ins and outs of it, and really be able to, in the presence of another person, Thomas. See, you're just having your own feedback about all of this, and so you're inside your own head. Right. You're doing all this stuff on the outside that's really good, but then you have these dark places on the inside. You need to bring those into relationship and allow another person, in a sense, to react to that, because that's how we get past shame. We show someone our shameful parts, and we see how they react. You know, are they horrified? Are you the worst person on the planet? You have to risk that. But usually, and I can say 99.9% of the time, you're going to get a much different response than the one you expect. And that's where the healing can take place. So as you bring those in and you uncover it all and you allow someone to be with you in that, that's God uses that and does miraculous things.
And one of the things you're going to get from people, Jill and Steve, is empathy and compassion.
Yes, yeah. That's right. That's what you're going to get.
And they're going to say to you, oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's a surprise, right?
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the response I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You're going to get someone to love you. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you're in the military. You're taught to follow a chain of command. Yeah. Somebody puts a weapon in your hands, and they go, shoot, over there, or drop a weapon over there.
Don't feel about it.
and because we're following orders, and God tells us to follow our governing authorities. And yet we will have feelings about that. And what do we do with them? And, you know, to be in your position where we are put into a position of bringing harm or destruction into somebody else's life or taking lives, It's very difficult to deal with. And this is when people come back from warfare, they come back with post-traumatic stress disorder, which is precisely where you're at. I don't know what to do with what I just did or what I was involved with.
Yeah.
But we appreciate you, and I can only feel empathy and compassion for the conflict you must feel on the inside. Yeah.
So part of the process is an understanding, too, for you to develop, and to then develop empathy for yourself in this.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
I've never even heard of that before.
You really do need to take care of yourself, and you need to not be so hard on yourself. And then, you know, I like to say that a whole new creature in Christ, you still have some holes that need to be filled. The whole of nurturing. There's a whole of wisdom and character. You know, a person that is instantly delivered from alcohol and drugs, or a guy that goes through 28 days of treatment, you don't instantly have godly biblical character, right?
Oh, okay.
That takes time to build that. You might do the right thing under high motivation for 3 or 4 days, but character takes time to build to where it just becomes second nature to you. What's the right thing? So don't be impatient. Don't expect that everything got fixed. If you have a little setback in your thinking, resentment, bitterness, don't think you're a failure. It's all, you know, you didn't get it right. You're on a great path, and you don't want to ever get off of it.
Well, and actually, and you may have heard this in your program, but you're actually going to feel a bit worse at first, Thomas, because you're trying to do this all, face all of your feelings without the alcohol.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right? Yeah. And you used that alcohol to medicate. So, and the thing with addicts is that they think that they're supposed to have no pain. And if they have any pain or discomfort, something must be terribly wrong. And no, we all have pain and discomfort. But it's learning to tolerate that as you process it.
Mm.
And so that's why it's important to process it in relationships. So I think you're doing so many right things. The only thing maybe to add to that would be therapy, would be a place to explore and process some of those deeper feelings.
I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible.
That's awesome.
Do you know what a Life Recovery Bible is? Have you heard of that?
No, sorry, I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a Bible that's got all the 12 steps and the 12-step principles all in it, the notes at the bottom that relate to everything that you've gone through, written by Bible scholars, the notes are, that we're recovering. This is a second edition. It even teaches you how to run a support group if you want to do that. A whole stream of great devotionals and concepts and principles, and I'm going to send that to you. Anybody else, you can get that second edition. It's amazing. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're 3 million of those Bibles out there helping folks integrate the truth of Jesus Christ into their recovery program. Makes all the difference in the world. We'll take this break and we'll come back with more New Life Live. But if you need help, you know, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Just that simple. We'll be back right after this.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. We were just discussing that not everybody thinks the 12 steps are from God. Well, they're not from God. A guy wrote them, I mean, a couple of guys. But the principles behind them are absolutely in line with everything that's in Scripture. You know, like, what's not to like about surrendering your life or to making restitution and making things right with other people? It's pretty amazing that people don't think that they are godly when, boy, we've done a lot of work to show that they are. Well, let's go over here and let's talk with Isaac from Listowel, Ontario. And glad that you're here,
yes.
Isaac. How can we help you? Hi, how can we help?
Yes, I'm just wondering. I'm trying to help a guy, and he's not willing to share anything. He's upstairs most of the time, and he doesn't come down to eat nothing. He's just he's really being stubborn, and I'm trying to help him. I think he's addicted to drugs or something. I'm not quite sure. I can't quite tell. But his parents asked me to see if I could help him somehow, and they can't do anything about it. So then I'm trying to help, but then when I ask him to go for a coffee with me, he's just swearing at me and wonders who I think he is. And just wondering if you have any information that I can maybe somehow connect with him.
Okay. And does he have anybody close to him that you're talking to or understands?
No, he doesn't have anybody close to him. He's very private. He used to work, and now all of a sudden he quit working. He's just very much by himself right now.
So he lives upstairs from you. You know him as a neighbor.
And no, I don't know him as a neighbor. Really, I don't really know him at all. I'm a pastor, I guess.
Oh.
And I can't really do any. I can't really connect with that guy. And I'd like to help him somehow. I just don't know how, because I don't know how he really is. I think he has somewhat to do with drugs and then I'm not quite sure how to connect with a guy like that.
Okay, well, he may not be struggling with drugs at all. He may be severely depressed. He may have at 20 years old, around that time, there are certain mental health issues that can have a sudden onset or move toward a more profound influence in the person's life, and they become reclusive, they pull away, they are struggling, their internal thoughts are helter-skelter, they're confused, and they don't know what to do. The thing you want to do, the thing that the parents know, as I understand, this is a 21-year-old son of friends, and he lives upstairs from his mom and dad, but he won't talk
that's
to them,
right.
And he won't come downstairs. And really,
except he swears at him like crazy, and it talks about killing everybody and stuff like that.
Okay, well, so he could have any one of a number of conditions. What I would really recommend happening, if there was one thing I would do, is I would find a counselor or a psychologist that would come over to the house and be willing to walk up the stairs and knock on the door and say, could we talk? and to try to figure out what's going on, because this guy doesn't sound like drugs. It sounds like mental illness to me. Mm-hmm. And what would
I think you need
to
take him to a psychiatrist?
Yes,
and have him
if at all possible, he needs to be evaluated. Mm-hmm. But if he won't come out of his room, then you might need more interdiction and interventions than that. Mm-hmm. But he does need to be psychologically evaluated.
So you have to look at what your leverage, you know, what's the parents' leverage,
yeah. Exactly.
Right? They're allowing him to live there. I'm assuming even though he swears at them that there must be some interaction. And so maybe helping them to brainstorm how to get him to an appointment, because that's the next step. And, mm-hmm. you know, and that you all are really concerned about him. You know, to try to appeal to what he knows to be true about himself and what you guys are observing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to send you this book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. Now, I don't know that that's exactly what he has, but it's sure going to help you understand what's going on there with him. Maybe it's something that his parents need to read. But I tell you, it's really amazing how... it's almost like the parents are being held hostage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the boy is holding himself hostage mm-hmm. with the way that he has developed and the things that he's allowed to do. And that's why I love the verse, John 10:10, where, you know, it says that Satan wants to steal and kill and destroy, but that Jesus wants to give all of us a life that's wonderful. It's full of purpose and meaning, and he wants to give us that. And Satan wants to steal everything. I would say Satan is doing an absolutely excellent job of stealing everything from this poor kid that's just stuck mm-hmm. in his room. It's horrible. Well, something that's not so horrible is that on March the 9th, Every Man's Battle takes place in Dallas. And I tell you, these workshops, they get more powerful and more powerful every time. And if you've ever struggled with pornography, this could really help you understand yourself as a man and how to not get yourself back into any kind of difficulty or struggle. And you can find out all about that, Every Man's Battle, at newlife.com or calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Take Your Life Back is March the 16th. We are going to love doing that in Orange County. Take Your Life Back. Going from... being reactive to everything, kind of at the mercy of everybody being nice to you and not triggering you, to, you know, being a responsive person, responding to others and responding the way God would have you to respond, and getting out of the false self into the real self, whether it's loneliness, anger, bitterness, depression, it's going to help. And then Intimacy in Marriage, July the 20th. If you want the marriage you never dreamed you could have, this is the place to find it. And it's not too early to sign up, July 20th. We just had miracle after miracle. People that were not ever going to be together again are together still. And it's happened over and over again. But you have to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, a gift of any amount, we'll send you this great little book, 7 Ways to Choose Healing. You'll love it. It will help you not wait for God to do what God is waiting for you to do. That's really the bottom line. But before we go, I want to mention one caller that was so interested in what we thought about recovery and addiction, and he seemed so enthusiastic to learn things. He would say, "I've never heard that before." I mean, that's really golden moments for us here, isn't it, guys, when mm-hmm. somebody's so open?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're just primed for really having that transformation.
Yeah,
right?
what I loved about it, Jill and Steve, is that he could say, "I don't know that,"
yeah.
or "I didn't know that," or "I don't
yeah.
know," and
mm-hmm.
and
right.
he's asking. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't want to ask; they're afraid and ashamed
right.
to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they really are. So I just applaud that kind of humility mm-hmm. and willingness and openness. And I tell you, there's very little that will not happen when a person says, "Okay, I'm willing. I can't do this on my own, and I want God to do it." Really makes all the difference in the world. We know that God loves you and wants the best for you, and that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world could be free. Mm. But you have to do something bold and brave and courageous sometimes to experience that freedom. You have to literally do the most difficult thing, get out of your isolation, pick up the phone, call, and get the help that you need. And that number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. What an amazing, amazing opportunity you have to be totally different. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right. God bless you there. Thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Jill, and all that pray and watch and support us. Thank you so much. We're going to see you right here tomorrow on New Life Live. Glad you're with us. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.